Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's final whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.
This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. He was the number two, now he's the number one. John Russell gets the Sligo Rovers manager's job on a permanent basis.
For the supporters, it's probably a bit of apprehension because they'd be thinking, oh, he was assistant manager here now and he's stepping up as first team manager. They saw me as a player. I gave everything on the pitch and I'd be no different as a manager.
It's Leitrim against Sligo in the Tailteann Cup quarter-final. Andy Moran reckons Leitrim could yet have a longer championship summer than his native county.
If we lost the ball with 3 weeks ago and we went away and we didn't meet the boys again until October, November, December time, like, how are we going to catch the big boys? Now all of a sudden we're playing into June. We might play longer than Joe, the Mayos, the Monaghans, these guys. Isn't that brilliant?
And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan and here are the contact numbers 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp or by text. The email address sport@oceanfm.ie. You can find us on Twitter right now as well at OceanFM Sport. Also coming up, a big weekend ahead for Sligo's minor hurling team. They're in an All-Ireland final. Their manager Martin Feeney will explain the work that's gone into achieving that. And it's not too often that Leitrim win All-Ireland titles, but the county can boast this week the country's best pool players in the land. We'll hear more about that national breakthrough later in the programme. But we begin with the showgrounds, where Sligo Rovers today appointed John Russell as the club's new manager on a permanent basis. He's been given the job now until the end of the 2023 season. At 37 years of age, he's one of the youngest managers in the League of Ireland right now. Dundalk Stephen O'Donnell is slightly younger. Russell had taken temporary charge of the side following Liam Buckley's departure 11 days ago. He had been Buckley's assistant, you'll know, since 2019, but now he's the main man.
I'm privileged and honoured to be given the role as first team manager of this club. I have a huge affiliation. I spent the majority of my career at the club, had huge success, played with some top players, some top teams, and now as first team manager I want to bring success to the football club.
Why do you think you got the job on a permanent basis?
A lot of people finish their playing career, they retire and they might slip into coaching or management. For me, I've been planning this for 15 years. Even when I played the game, I always observed the coaches and managers I worked under, and I started my coaching process back in 2008, and I'm due to finish my pro licence now in 2022, so it's been a long journey, but I've learned an awful lot along the way and I feel I'm ready now for this opportunity.
How would you describe yourself as a manager?
Intense. Probably there's a perception that I might be a nice guy and calm and all that, and I am calm, but when I cross the white line, people see me as a player. I was aggressive on the pitch, I was a winner, and I'll be the same as a manager. I want to get the best out of the players here. I'm obviously very aware of the group. I've worked here as assistant manager for 3.5 years. I know the quality that's in the dressing room here, and I feel I can get the best out of the players.
Nobody doubts, I think, your knowledge of the game. No one doubts your knowledge and affection for Sligo Rovers Football Club. There might be a question or two about, are you experienced enough for the cut and thrust of being the number one in League of Ireland football?
Yeah, that's always the question when a young manager is appointed. But you look across the league at the other managers, you know, Stephen O'Donnell, he got appointed just off the back of playing with no coaching experience before that. You know, Tim Clancy's in at St. Pat's now. You've got Rory Higgins up in Derry. I'm on the pro licence with a lot of these guys as well. So, you know, we've played the game at a high level. We're engrossed in it. You know, as I said, I've been looking at managers, studying, going on study visits. I just love the game, love coaching, love developing young players, wanting to develop teams, and now we've got the opportunity now as a first team manager to try and take this club to the top of the tree. And you know, I want to be challenging the Shamrock Rovers, the Derry Cities. You know, they have a lot of money and benefactors, and we have our model here in Sligo. You know, it's a community run club, and you know, it's the heartbeat of the community, Sligo Rovers. And you know, for me, that Monday night when I got my first chance as an interim manager, like the energy in the ground, the performance of the players that showed the potential here. And I want nights like that. I want people leaving this ground, win, lose, or draw, saying, you know what, I enjoy watching that football. You know, we all want to win matches, but you want to enjoy what you're watching on the pitch. And it's definitely a style of play I want to bring. I want to attack an aggressive football. I want us on the front foot, getting after teams and winning matches.
What can you tell us about the management team you'll have working around you at this stage?
Yeah, so Ryan Casey will come in as my assistant manager. I've known Ryan for a number of years. We played together at Galway United when I was starting out at 17, 18. And Ryan's a top coach. Again, he'd be known by a lot of people in the community here. He's a development officer, and he's a real energy and enthusiasm about him, and he's been in for the last few months as well, helping out on the coaching side. So I'm delighted that he's going to be joining me as assistant manager. Leo Tierney will stay in as a goalkeeping coach. Mark Cowley is strength and conditioning coach, top people. In the medical side of things, Tom Duffy will be leading that, and Raheem McBride with him. And you know, we're really excited. There might be one or two additions to come, but you know, it's been a busy few days. My phone's been hopping, so I get back to people now in the next while, and then hopefully there'll be more appointments to come.
And you've been here for the past few seasons. You know the strengths and weaknesses of this current Sligo Rovers squad. Can you give us any sense what's going to be available to you in terms of changing that if you feel you need to?
Yeah, any manager will tell you you're always looking to strengthen the squad. And you know, I'm not just someone who's come in and I'm trying to assess the group. I know all the players, so I know their strengths and weaknesses. I think I can get a bit more out of some of them, but I'm definitely active. I want to go out and aggressively attack and get the best players to this club. You know, we mightn't have all the money other clubs have, but I think we offer an awful lot in Sligo, and it's a huge platform for players, whether they're looking to progress their own careers or they want to come here and be successful and try and win things.
Finally, John, I know you're born and raised in Galway, but we like to think of you as an adopted Sligo man at this stage. For fans who are glad to see the club is promoting from within, but apprehensive as well about whether this is a calculated gamble or not, what would your message to those supporters be?
Yeah, I mean, the players, you know, they know me, the staff know me, the club know me, and for the supporters there's probably a bit of apprehension, because they'd be thinking, oh well, he was assistant manager here now and he's stepping up as first team manager. They saw me as a player. I gave everything on the pitch, and I'd be no different as a manager. And I believe I've got the knowledge and the skill set to bring this team and this club to another level. I've got a vision for where I want to go. I've got a strategy and the plan, and we're going to really work extremely hard over the next few months, and hopefully we'll have an exciting end to the season.
Rovers' new permanent manager, John Russell, speaking today. So how has news of that permanent appointment been received? Well, Sligo native Mark Rossiter played alongside Russell at St Patrick's Athletic.
For me, it's a positive appointment. It's his first job. You don't know how it's going to go, but you know, when you look at recent times with Stevie O'Donnell, Rory Higgins, let's say, you know, it's been very, very positive in the places that they've gone into. Stevie, obviously, at St Pat's. And, you know, obviously moving on to Dundalk. And Rory at Derry has done a great job. Obviously, you know, he's big funding behind him. But, you know, with John being, a loyal figure in the showgrounds, let's say, you know, he played there. He won leagues, let's say, as a player. He knows a player's mindset. I'm sure he's learned a lot of Bucco over the last 3 years as well. So, you know, he probably has things that he wants to put his own stamp on himself. And for everybody involved, I hope it's a positive appointment and it goes really well.
It's clear he knows the club inside out. It's clear he has a good knowledge of football domestically. He also worked as an FAI regional development officer. He doesn't appear to have that much experience as being the number one. Might that be a worry?
I don't think so. I think the positive look that I would look at it from the squad point of view that's there, He knows what the players can do and what they can bring. And now that he's the manager, I'm sure, you know, he knows what he wants to change himself, you know, what he'd agree with Liam and what he wouldn't have, you know. And, you know, with Case there as well, with Ryan Casey, you know, you've got a fella who's played at you know, very, very high levels in the UK. And he was, you know, he was a very good player and a big character as well. So I'm looking at it hugely as a positive appointment.
And I know there might be people thinking, well, he was part of the Liam Buckley managerial team, so if you're making a managerial change, why not clean the cupboard out and start afresh?
Yeah, but look at it from John's point of view. Like, he's got his, well, he's on his pro licence at the minute, so he's got the accreditation. So I think he's obviously fondly thought of in the showgrounds. Otherwise, they wouldn't have given him the appointment, let's say. But I'd say you would have had people knocking, you know, like you've got Waterford and you've got Athlone, let's say, without a manager. So they're all, I suppose, going to be looking at who's an up-and-comer. And I suppose, I'm not saying get them on the cheap, I don't mean it like that, but giving them their opportunities to put their own stamp, because it's done well for teams in the last couple of years. So I'd be... Look, I'm delighted for John. He's a great fella. He's got a winning mentality, and I hope that carries through into the Rovers team.
Yeah, well, Rovers certainly haven't hung around to making the appointment finally, Mark. Does that suggest to you that maybe the board were leaning towards John Russell from an early stage?
Possibly, but at the same time, look, we're not going to know what kind of applicants that they had, I suppose, from here, there and everywhere. But I would like the fact that they have promoted from within, because he's young, hungry, he's going to be quite meticulous and leave no stone unturned, and he knows the squad that's in place. If a manager comes from the outside in, might want a complete overhaul. With John, he knows exactly what's there, what strengths the players have, what weaknesses, and what way he can tighten that up and, I suppose, make them a more competitive team than they have been in the last couple of games.
That's Mark Rossiter on John Russell's appointment as Sligo Rovers boss on a permanent basis today. The next match in charge for John Russell will be against Finn Harps at home in 2 weeks' time. That's the 18th of June.
Well, we're just looking out here at the Sligo team warming up. Niall Murphy has just stood around the goal mouth there. He has the Sligo crew neck top on, no bib on, unlike the rest of the players out in the field and substitutes. So we're not sure, will Niall Murphy feature today? There's only a point in it at the moment. Sligo 3, London 2 is the score as the ball goes in here towards the full forward line. James Hines is there. He's got a man off the shoulder, and there's a goal chance here on for London if the ball is put across the goal. Here comes the number 13, James Gallagher. And what a finish to the back of the net. It was Stephen Dornan, number 9, that broke the line there. Came off the shoulder of James Hines. Hines had a couple of Sligo players there for company, and he slotted the ball off his shoulder to Stephen Dornan. Dornan threw a bit of a step there to get past the challenge, and it was a 2-on-1 in favour of London. James Gallagher there slots a pass to Aidan Devaney after going around the keeper. London 1-2, Sligo 3 points. That could be diminished altogether because Alan Riley's in on goal here for Sligo. Alan Riley hits the back of the net. Nathan Rooney bagged the ball inside in the full forward line off the pass from Keelan Cawley. It looked like a bit of a dribbly pass from Keelan Cawley there, but Rooney bagged it. Alan Riley burst through, breaks the line brilliantly, as we've seen him do so many times for his club. And he's doing it for the county now. Alan Riley with a goal to his name. What a response from Sligo. 1-3 to 1-2.
An ice cold finish from Alan Riley. He couldn't have believed his luck, I'd say, when that ball came through to him. And he looked up, he got the ball about 20 metres from goal, looked up, nobody between him and the goal, but he did it. The needful took a bounce and slid it into the bottom left corner. A great finish from the ferryman.
Kick out comes down on top of Paul McNamara, who wins possession for Sligo to Dara Cummins. And now Paul Kilcoyne has turned on the burners here. He's got a shot now off the left boot, in around the house. Pat Hughes back of the net for Sligo. Well, Paul Kilcoyne, in fairness to him, came forward like a march here up the left wing, floats the ball in and around the area, and they don't call Pat Hughes the bear in the square for nothing.
The bear in the square, and Paul was brilliant at the pace that he went at. I thought he took the wrong option. He was going for a score off his left, from out on the left-hand side near the sideline. But as you said, when you've got the bear in the square, a ball like that can be very strong. And when Pat saw it there, there was no question of pulling out of it. A great finish.
Great take by James Hines in the middle of the field.
Fantastic from James Hines. Those five or six lads there that went up for that ball, but James Hines the man to take possession. Stephen Dornan now has Matthew Walsh off on the shoulder. A chance of a goal here for London. Matthew Walsh with a shot, and that has gone into the back of the net. Matthew Walsh, the number 23, came off the shoulder of Stephen Dornan, 1-on-1 with Aidan Devaney. And I don't know, was it a miss hit from Matthew Walsh on that occasion, but it's just gone in and over the head of Aidan Devaney. Devaney dived to his left, and it's found its way into the back of the net. It could be a combination there, a miss hit and a slip at the same time, Colin, I'm not sure. But nevertheless, London are into a 1-point lead. One more chance for Sligo. Sean Carabine comes out of the back line. It's London 2-11, Sligo 2-10. Up the right hand side, the field goes Luke Towie.
Last chance.
Every London man behind the ball here on this occasion. Towie spins out of the tackle. He's got Peter Laffey outside him. Laffey goes across the field here to McNamara. McNamara now to Dara Cummins. They need a score here, Sligo, and quick. Alan Riley with possession goes to Nathan Mullen. Mullen opens up now to Sean Carabine. Carabine to Evan Lyons. My heart is racing. I can't imagine how Tony McAtee's ticker is going at the moment. It's gone outside to Evan Lyons again. Peter Laffey.
Give it to O'Connor.
Paddy O'Connor. Alan Riley. Riley's going to go for it off the right boot. Has he got the distance?
Yes!
Has he got it? Alan Riley has kicked that one in and kicked it over the bar.
Huge score.
Oh my Jesus. What a score that is from Alan Riley. Absolutely massive from the Curry man. A goal and three to his name today. Sligo 2-11. London 2-11. Alan Riley, if that brings it to extra time, you won't have to buy a pint of Howley's for a long time.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Well, Paddy O'Connor got the ball and you were thinking he's the man to have the shot, but no better man than the man he gave it to, Alan Riley, and that goes it. Look at the body language. London are absolutely broken by
Sapped.
That.
Oh. Hits this one in. It's got a high trajectory on it. Peter Labby underneath it. A chance of a goal for Sligo. Donald Conlon with the shot. Is it gone into the back of the net? It has! The ball has hit the back of the net. Barney strikes again for Sligo. He got a goal against London in the league. And Brian Egan, the number 18, has hit that one into the back of the net. Sligo 3-14, London 2-13. This is very dangerous. In around the house, it's Matthew Walsh. Oh, what a save that is from Aidan Devaney. But the referee has given a penalty. Aidan Devaney clutches the black spot on the crossbar as Christopher Farrelly gets ready to take what is probably one of the most important kicks that he will have in a London jersey. Steps off left footed. Saved by Devaney. A massive save from Aidan Devaney as the shot comes in on the rebound for Sean Hickey and goes over the bar. Well, I tell you what, Aidan Devaney dive to his left. A good save. Not the best of penalties from Chris Farrelly, it must be said. An easy save, really, for a keeper of Devaney's calibre. But it's a 2-point game now. Sligo off the hook. Sligo 3-14. London 2-15. Matthew Walsh is the man there for London, who has possession now. He has a man off the shoulder there in form of the number 22, who gives it outside to Liam Gavigan. Gavigan being tackled by 4-5 Sligo players. Gavigan with the shot. Saved low by Aidan Devaney. As he comes out of the backline with possession, Devaney has lumped that one into the field across the road. And that is it. And well, Sligo 3-15, London 2-16. We'll have to take a second.
Definitely.
Ryan Bailey and Conor Mara composing themselves after the extra time drama at Markovic Park last Saturday evening in round one of the Tailteann Cup. Sligo won it in the end. Just about. There were similar emotions afterwards too for the Sligo manager Tony McEntee when he spoke to Gavin Cawley.
I don't know if my overriding feeling is relief in this occasion. You know, we had a game where we had huge amount of scoring opportunities and huge amount of chances and just simply failed to take them. Like it was 45 chances we had with 18 scores compared to, I think, maybe they had 28 chances and
the White Town alone was, I think, was 21-2.
21-2. So there you go. So it is an awful lot. Now, I suppose from my end, I look at it here, and especially in extra time, we had a number of players to come on the field: Donald Conlon, Luke Terry, Brian Egan in particular, and they all contributed to it, you know. And I think that's something that we can build on and try and improve for the next day. The frustration, though, is the frustration is clearly the wide situation and the opportunities that we had, or maybe the chances that we took, more so than the wides, you know. We need to be much more clinical than that in it, and we also need to be a wee bit more crisper, not just in our shooting, but in our attacking play there, because in normal time, I thought we were quite rusty in a lot of the game.
I thought from where I was standing in the press box that at times that you're maybe too slow and it was easy to defend from a London point of view.
Yeah, the transition out of it. Yeah, absolutely. Too slow and too cumbersome in a lot of the football, like, you know. And nowhere, we weren't even moving the ball forward at pace, nowhere were we carrying the ball forward at pace, you know. And I think, to be fair to Alan Riley, in the last kick of normal time to draw the match, he took responsibility, and in the extra time as well, I thought he was very good. He took the game to them. So, you know, he's 20 years of age, 21 years of age, so that's a huge bonus from today. There is a lot of frustration, though, within the team, in that they know they're better than this. They know that in training sessions they're performing an awful lot better, and they know in some challenge matches just parts of their game is an awful lot better. So, but we'll get another game and we get time to improve, and I think that's the beauty here of the Tailteann Cup, isn't it?
And you mentioned now next week, is it a matter you don't care who you get? You're in the pot. Sometimes London anyway feel that they left this game behind them. Does that give you a bit of a feeling now we've nothing to lose now, kind of going into a quarter final?
Well, we don't, in all honesty with you, because at the minute the teams that's in it are Cavan, Fermanagh, Leitrim and ourselves, you know. And you know, I think I'm not talking out of hand here. I think each of them teams will be looking forward to trying to get Sligo, and I think that's a good place for us, because we may well may well do better when we're up against it, you know.
You probably don't care as long as you've got another home game, would you?
Don't care. Home game is what we're looking for here, yeah.
And there's been a lot of talk about the Tailteann Cup, and some people, some experts, you've probably heard them yourself on the Sunday game. I'm not sure if you watch it or not, but talking that there's not enough being done to promote it. Do you think that there has been enough being done about it yourself?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an opinion on it because I haven't been on that side of it. I know they're trying, and that's what they're trying to do here. Like, this is a new thing. I think it'd be easy for us to be critical of them at this point in time. It's a new competition. It's a new start. We need to see how it develops itself. We need to see how players are taking it as well. We're thankful that all our players are taking it with a serious intent at least. So, I think how it's shaped and how it's formed will be different next year because they learn from any mistakes or trying that they do this year.
Was it a panic button you pressed when you had to bring on Niall Murphy? Probably didn't look fit to the average man that's watching them, like, at your, was just, you have to try anything to kind of get over the line, is it?
Well, there was 2 minutes or whatever was left in the game at that stage, you know, when we were a couple of points down, and there was an opportunity at that stage to Niall said he felt that he be able to manage and get his way through it, you know. That wasn't the case. He struggled and he had to come off then a minute or so later. Like, so it was something we tried, didn't work out. That's it. You know, you got to try things.
And most likely he'd probably be out for next week, would he?
Oh, he'd definitely be out for next week, yeah. There's no chance of coming back in 7 days, like, you know.
And as you said, when you analyse it probably is a game that if you even took a percentage of them wise, this would have been a comfortable win.
Yeah, we left ourselves in a situation whereby they had, this is London now, had a number of, I suppose, half chances for goals, including a penalty. And I think the sad part in all this is that they should have got one of them. They should have been competing here, and maybe it should have been a draw at full time for all I know. But the reality is that we left ourselves in a position that any slip or mistake from our defence would have given London a chance to win this. And that shouldn't have been the case. With the possession we had and the chances we had, we should not have allowed ourselves to get in a position at the end.
Sligo manager Tony McEntee speaking to Gavin Cawley after Sligo's extra time victory in round one of the Tailteann Cup at the weekend. We'll hear from his Leitrim counterpart, Andy Moran, later in the programme. But let's have a word right now with Sligo's Colin McGee and Leitrim's Martin McGowan. It's Leitrim against Sligo in the Tailteann Cup quarterfinal this Sunday afternoon in Carrick-on-Shannon at 3:00. The winner will be guaranteed a trip to Croke Park. Remember, both semi-finals are going to be in Croker and they're both going to be televised live as well. So the carrot is a big one for both counties this Sunday. Colm and Martin will be part of our commentary team here on Ocean FM Sport from that game at Avant Money Park. Sean McDiarmada. Colm, Tony McEntee in that interview highlighted a lot of what went wrong with Sligo's game last Saturday. They got across the line. I think the consensus even in the Yates County is that Sligo were fortunate to win that game, but they win it, and sometimes can that bring its own momentum?
Well, that could be the fright that they needed. Well, not that they needed it, but they can use it that way, you know. My heart is still going from listening to the concluding part of a normal time there from Ryan and Con there, so there's definitely a sense of relief. You know, 21 wides is a huge, huge tally. But on the flip side of that, it's good that they're creating chances, you know, so I don't think that they're going to kick as many wides the next day. So, you know, they're in the next round, and that's all they needed to do. You know, how they got there is at this stage is irrelevant, and they're in the next round, so they'll go from there.
Will they feel vulnerable, though? Niall Murphy is out with that hamstring injury, and the overall tenor of the performance didn't augur that well for Sligo.
No, as Tony was saying in his interview there, you know, they had to take the risk of trying to get Niall back into the game to salvage something, and unfortunately for Niall, you know, his injury flared up again, and he'll miss this again. But on the flip side of that, you've got the likes of Luke Towie, who's now back in the fray, and, you know, Donald Conlon and Brian Egan came on and made big contributions last weekend as well. So, and Pat Hughes is kicking back into a little bit of form. So while the loss of Niall Murphy is huge, there are other kind of players willing to step up there and have contributed. So that's the way I'd be looking at it, going in and trying to look at the positive side of things. And although it's not going to be easy going up to Park Sean, it never is. And, you know, especially after the way Leitrim won their game the last year, there'll be huge confidence in their camp.
Well, a man who was at that Leitrim win over Antrim last Saturday, and an impressive first half in particular, was Martin McGowan, former Leitrim player, mentor and selector, and he's on the line as well. Martin, this is going to be the third meeting between Leitrim and Sligo competitively this year, and while Sligo have won the previous two in the FBD and the National League, do things feel a bit more even this weekend?
Yeah, I think they do, Austin. You know, when the draw was made, you know, the first thing that occurred to me was, you know, Leitrim would be happy with the draw, but Sligo would also be happy with the draw. And I would imagine that both teams will fancy their chances on Sunday playing against each other. Certainly from a Leitrim point of view, you know, Leitrim seen how difficult it was to beat London. I mean, we played London there in the first round of the Championship. And while at times it looked like Leitrim were going to pull away nice and handy, London showed real battling qualities that they showed again, obviously, last Saturday against Sligo. So, I mean, on that form line, there really isn't much between the two teams. So, you know, on that sort of form line, I'd say, you know, it's probably an even game going into next Saturday.
We haven't played the highlights of Leitrim's win over Antrim yet, but the first half last weekend, again, by common consensus, appears to have been Leitrim's best 35 minutes of football this year. Do you go along with that?
Yeah, I'd say maybe the second half in Tipperary was as good as I've seen as well. They played absolutely outstanding in Temple Stadium that day. I thought they were absolutely excellent. But Leitrim's problem all year long really has been consistency. They've played well in fits and starts in different games, Austin. And you know, they haven't been able to maintain that for a full 70 minutes. Now, on Saturday, they played very well up until about 45 minutes into the game, and then Antrim got their period of dominance. But in that period of dominance, you know, Leitrim kind of held them down to 3 or 4 points, really, and they only really ate into Leitrim's lead a little bit. And while, I suppose, it got a little bit nervous and that it came back to 4 points, you never really got the feeling that Antrim were going to breach the Leitrim defence last Saturday and get another goal that would have really left it a nervous last 10 minutes.
But given the way they lost to Galway in the semi-final and the margin of victory was big by the finish, it was a pretty good response from Andy Moran's side. There have been other counties around the country in the Championship who have taken a heavy beating and haven't recovered from that, so that must be a positive for Leitrim this weekend.
It certainly is, Austin. And, you know, I mean, when you looked at the starting 15 for Leitrim, like, there were a number of players injured, most notably, I suppose, Donald Casey and Ryan O'Rourke, who both made the Division 3 and 4 team of the year. You know, one of our best defenders and one of our best forwards, you know, both missing. On top of that, Conor Dolan, so was Darren Maxwell, the goalkeeper against London. You know, those five in total that were injured for that game. And during the game, Leitrim used four or maybe five subs. But also, they still had on the bench to come on. They had Dean McGovern, Shane Quinn, Tom Pryor. Three guys that if they'd been put in the starting 15, nobody would have batted an eyelid. So for the first time in a long time, you know, I get the feeling or get the sense that there's a squad of players there that are capable of going out and representing Leitrim. And probably the biggest problem Andy Moran has at the minute is figuring out where his best 15 is.
And I know Leitrim supporters, Martin, will be hoping that Ryan O'Rourke is able to play some part this Sunday. He missed the match because of injury last weekend. Do you get any sense that he might be in the match day 26 this Sunday?
Well, it's just hard to know, Austin. I mean, no more than Niall Murphy. Ryan's injury is a hamstring injury, and it's, you know, it's been a recurrence. I mean, he has had problems with the hamstring before. So in that respect, it's just hard to know how quickly he is recovered, because he certainly wasn't even togged out last weekend, and he wasn't even close to be able to make the match day 26. So that in itself would be a bit of a worry. But, you know, the feeling on the ground is that hopefully he may be able to play some role on Sunday.
Colm, in the absence of Niall Murphy, we have wondered where Sligo are going to get their scores from. Alan Riley put up his hand against London last Saturday. Is there enough in attack for Sligo this weekend?
Yeah, there is. You know, I mentioned earlier Pat Hughes coming back into form. You know, he's vastly experienced. I think he goes back to Sarah's 2012 when he made his debut in New York. you know, Alan Riley obviously is going to be a marked man against Leitrim, considering his 1-6 contribution against London. Brian Egan getting the goals, you know, once that man gets his confidence up, you know, he can shoot the lights out as well. So Luke Towie's pace, I think, is a huge addition in the forward line as well. He's very, very direct. I heard Gavin Cawley's interview there with Tony McEntee talking about maybe the lack of pace and the lack of thrust going forward. So that's definitely something that Luke can add, along with like Sean Carbine. And then, of course, Paddy O'Connor scored 2 goals against Leitrim in the final round of the league. So there is fire forward there. There is a spread of scorers. So plenty of reason to be positive, I would say.
And, gents, just your thoughts on the fact that, you know, you almost forget about this, but the winner gets to go to Croke Park, which just add a silver lining to this Tailteann Cup quarter-final at the weekend.
It's a big deal, Austin. There's no two ways about it. There's a massive prize at stake for both counties here. A trip to Croke Park with potentially another one after that. And, like, it's not too often that Leitrim or Sligo, indeed, you know, can say at senior level that they've got the opportunity maybe to visit Croke Park twice in the year in the same competition. So there's a big prize at stake. And really and truly, I think it's an even match. I don't expect there to be an awful lot between the two teams on Sunday. I don't know how Colin feels about it, but...
No, I'd agree with that. I think it's very nicely balanced now, you know. And previous encounters, you know, this year, the FBD was a huge shoot, as it was 121-117, and then the league game was a dead rubber at the time, 216-210. Myself and Martin were kind of on duty for the Sligo Leitrim minor game as well, which is another fantastic game. So if we're treated anything like those kind of scorelines now, I think we'll be in for a treat. But as Martin said, you know, Croke Park is where every single young player wants to play, boys and girls, and it's something that they'd love to aspire to. But in recent years, that hasn't been a reality for the likes of Division 3 and 4 teams, unless they got to a league final, which Sligo or Leitrim haven't done in recent years. So it's a huge carrot in front of them there, a huge opportunity to try and get onto the hallowed turf and kick on from there.
It sounds like the two of you might be hoping for extra time in Carrick on Shannon, gents.
Penalties, maybe.
What? Yeah, you never know. You never know. It could be a first penalties in the Tailteann Cup.
Yeah. Your early impressions, just to finish, Martin, on the Tailteann Cup then. Do you think this championship can work?
I certainly do, Austin. You know, I mean, initially, I have to say, I was a little bit disappointed with the north-south divide in the competition. You know, I felt there was no need to segregate the competition. But Larry McCarthy pointed out last week that the reason for that was, you know, local rivalries they were hoping to get going. And by God, if they got local rivalries going this week with Leitrim and Sligo and Cavan and Fermanagh. And the way things worked out last week, it didn't matter who Leitrim was going to draw. They were going to have a local derby, and that they bordered the three counties that were left. So that adds its own little bit of excitement. And I suppose the fact that Leitrim and Sligo have met a couple of times this year already, that's going to add another little bit of a layer to it. And that, so look, if it can capture the imagination of the public, and hopefully Sunday, a good day is promised, and that, you know, get a good crowd into Carrick, you know, and hopefully 4,000 or 5,000 people maybe come to see the game. And that's how the games like the Tailteann Cup will kick on from there, maybe.
Very good. Okay, Martin McGowan and Colin McGee, we'll see you in Carrick on Sunday. They'll be part of the Ocean FM commentary team alongside John Lynch, and that match live in full this Sunday afternoon from 3 p.m. courtesy of McManus Pharmacy, New Line and Manor Hamilton, and JBG Security Systems, protecting your home and your business. And the game is also being streamed live on the GAA Go online service.
Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's final whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.
Welcome back to the programme. Well, a big Saturday ahead for the Sligo Minor Hurlers. They take on Mayo in the under-17 Celtic Challenge All-Ireland Final. The game is in Markovich Park at 12 noon, and the Sligo team manager is Martin Feeney.
It's a mental occasion for the boys. Pride in each and every one of them is there to be seen in the last couple of weeks since we qualified after beating Meath. So, like, each and every one of the lads have worked really, really hard and deserve to be in the final.
And you and the players and the management team behind you have put a lot of time and energy into this championship run.
Yeah, we've kind of been really at it for, we say, six months with strength and conditioning through the winter months. And then from kind of March onwards, we've been on the pitch probably two evenings a week and probably challenge games. So, like, they've put in a lot of effort, a lot of work. And like, the rewards are there to be seen now, getting to as far as we've come.
And looking through your squad list, Martin, the range of players from across the county, you're not just relying on one or two clubs anymore to carry the county team.
No. There's six clubs there involved this weekend, and, you know, just it's a testimony to the work that all the club coaches have done throughout the last couple of years, and, you know, the benefits are there to be seen now with, you know, even at club level, the competitions are getting more and more competitive, and, you know, the rewards are coming through on that as well.
And having the final at home in Markovic Park, is there significance to that for you?
Oh, it is, yeah. It's a great opportunity for parents and families to come out and support the lads. Honestly, you know, and to be playing at home is a big advantage for us, you know. So, you know, the parents as well, each player, you know, put a lot of commitment in to bring the boys in and out of the garden for training and that, like, you know. So I really appreciate that kind of that effort as well from the parents.
And another small touch, but a nice one, admission to Markovic Park for spectators on Saturday is free. So that's an added incentive to go and support the county's minor hurlers.
Oh, it is, yeah. Yeah, like, you know, there's been no charge at any of these games. It's to try and promote hurling within the counties. Honest, like, you know, so it's a great opportunity to come and see, hopefully, what will be a very close, hard-fought game. On Saturday in Markovic Park. So we just encourage as many people to come out and watch it and take part in it as can.
And one final thought on your opponents, Mayo. The Celtic Challenge has grouped counties of equal ability. That was the theory behind it when it started a few years back. How would you rate your opponents this weekend?
Yeah, we played them in the first round of the round robin, and, you know, it was a fairly even matched game, but Mayo tipped it in the end, so, like, they'd be slight favourites going into this game, but, like, they're really well organised, and there's some lovely hurlers, so, you know, it's up to our boys to stand up and match them in every department, and see how the final result fares after that.
Martin Feeney, manager of the Sligo County Minor Hurling Team on Saturday's All-Ireland Celtic Challenge Under 17 final against Mayo, which has been played at Markovic Park at 12 noon. And as Martin mentioned, there's free admission to the game for all supporters. And we wish Sligo the very best of luck on that. We're going to talk pool in just a moment. But before that, here is the Leitrim senior football manager, Andy Moran, on Sunday's Tailteann Cup quarter-final, Leitrim against Sligo. He was speaking to John Lynch following his side's win over Antrim in round one when they beat the Saffron County by 2-14 to a goal and 12 at Park Sean.
I think the Tailteann Cup has given us 3-4 weeks more training, John, which has been just brilliant. We've started with 36 against in London. We still have 36 in the squad, which is brilliant. It just shows the commitment. You see the boys here behind us running. And when we play football like we played in the first half, we're a really good team. Unfortunately, when it goes a bit wrong for us. But there, it's lovely to have things to improve. I said after the Galway game, people were on about, oh, we got well bet. We competed for 25 minutes. When was the last time we seen Leitrim competing for 25 minutes? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a huge, huge effort for us. We did really well today. Very proud of the boys. Even the boys that are running here, just great lads. And it's great to have another round, isn't it?
And when we've seen some of the names that was missing and then the changes that you have to make at the start of the game, maybe people were getting worried. But you, as you mentioned here in the interview, you had the confidence and the strength and depth of the squad, and that's something I know from speaking to you early on in the year that you were keen to build up.
Yeah, I think, like, if you look at the changes, so we have players like Jack Heslin, and Jack Heslin hasn't played for since 2019. It takes a while. You can't just leave county football and come back in and expect to be ready. You see, he got 55 minutes there tonight, today. Really, really good. Our backline, I have to compliment Conor Reynolds. I have to compliment Shane Moore. Joe, really good players. You see Jory Reynolds coming on there. He's seen a bit of the black light himself there after 20 minutes. We nearly had to take him off again. But he had a score, he had an assist. He links up really well with Byrne. And even Keith, getting Keith back on the pitch today was just was brilliant for us, and it's lovely to see that.
Defensively, you are very solid. And in fairness too to Binnie Flynn, as the game went on, you know, when the chips were down in the second half, his kickouts there, you were finding targets time after time.
I thought he was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I thought he was brilliant. I think that's Benny's best game for us as a management team. Even the ball he kicks out to Donald Rain when Donald flicks it on for Jack in the first half, that's on a point. Like, if you're a golfer, that's right on the point where we needed him to kick it, and it's a brilliant little move. And the lads came up with that themselves, and the way they went, you know, and it worked really well, and we nearly got a goal out of it. I'd be very disappointed with our inconsistency throughout the game. Like, we were brilliant there for 30, 35, maybe even 40 minutes, but the second half we just wanted the finish line to come. We want a team that wants to drive through that finish line. We're not there yet, but I think we're getting there.
Was that maybe a sign of nerves, that the lads knew they had a big lead, that the finishing line was in sight?
Really hot day. Mm-hmm. I think a team is always going to get a period. If we didn't concede the goal, I think it would have been still comfortable, but we concede a goal and it comes that way. Now, we had a massive amount of goal chances ourselves, 5 or 6 goal chances ourselves. If we take any of them, we're away. But listen, it's the way it goes. We'd be disappointed with it, but we'd be happy with the way we played over a long stretch, and it was enough to win the game today.
And the two goals that you scored, the build up play, I thought was excellent for that. And I touched on it a couple of moments ago in an interview, Devon Sweeney. Reardon O'Rourke chased what looked like a lost ball to come back inside and to square it eventually for the Heslin goal. That was fantastic to watch.
And it's lovely to see. And like Reardon is a scorer. He wants to score mm-hmm. points. He didn't score today, but he's a few assists, really strongly involved in a couple of other scores, which people don't see. But I'm delighted he's seen that. Like, it was brilliant. He did another one there for a dead ball. I think Keith kicked a free. Reardon turns, gives it to Devin Sweeney, who was the last play of the game. So there was good performances right through. But we just want to build it over 70-75 minutes. So if we get there, I think this team can be a really good team.
And finally, of course, the games are going to be coming fast and furious. The draw now is taking place on Monday. Again, it'll be a team from the northern section. You know, you've got maybe the likes of Sligo, London in there. Cavan, I think, we're going fairly well too. So, you know, it's going to be a tough one, no matter who you play. Long for Fermanagh, there's no easy games from here on in. There was never easy games from the start.
No, and I think what's really good about us today, Antrim turned us over last year. We go and turn them over today. It shows that we're progressing. It shows that we're getting better. They're a Division 3 side, and comfortable Division 3. Joe, you know, they weren't hanging around the bottom of Division 3. They were going for promotion. So it shows where we can get to if we believe in the project. But next day, isn't it great to be in a draw?
Absolutely.
Like, I think Keith, I was talking to Keith Byrne before the game, and he said, I think it's the first time we've played in Porkshaw without a wind.
Yeah.
Joe, that's it. We want to play in the summer football. It's not perfect. It's not perfect, but it's a start, and it's given us a month extra training. It gives us now another week training right into the month of June. How great is that for Leitrim?
And finally, maybe a national headline before you finish, a glowing endorsement for you for the Hatton Cup so far.
I think I would say that, yeah. Like, it's not perfect. I would definitely, the round robin stage, like, Antrim go home today, they don't get another game after two championship defeats. That's not perfect. When it gets to a 3-game round robin, I think it's going to be a brilliant, brilliant tournament. I genuinely think it is, and like, it's going to bring teams on. If you think about it, John, if we lost a goal with 3 weeks ago and we went away and we didn't meet the boys again until October, November, December time, like, how are we going to catch the big boys? Now all of a sudden we're playing into June. We might play longer than Joe, the Mayos, the Monaghans, mm-hmm. these guys. Isn't that brilliant? Absolutely. And Joe, isn't that exciting? So fingers crossed we can keep going.
Andy Moore and the Leitrim manager speaking to John Lynch, and Leitrim against Sligo is live in full for you this Sunday afternoon from 3:00 here on Ocean FM. Well, finally, while Leitrim Gaelic footballers continue their bid to try and reach the Tailteann Cup semi-final at Croke Park, another Leitrim team is already celebrating an All-Ireland title. Leitrim's best pool players won the All-Ireland Inter-County Pool Championship in Killarney by beating Tyrone 10-8 in the final. The Leitrim Pool Association team beat Louth, Armagh, Cavan and Cork en route to that decider. Drumshambo's John Casey is chairperson of the Leitrim Pool Association, and he was in Killarney cheering on the team to victory.
Oh, well, it was very exciting and emotional and everything, because I suppose we're 25 years involved in this, and we're trying to win it for the last 25 years, the main event, and it just, everything clicked just the way, and the boys got across the line, you know.
You had to beat Louth, Armagh, Cavan, Cork en route to the final, so you won it the hard way, it looks like.
Well, that's it. You know, you have to beat the best teams when you're doing it, and the lads, they've had exceptional stuff all weekend, but it's all down to the practice that they have put in over the last few months. You know, the way we do practice a good bit there in the pool hall in Lumshambo, and it's a testament to the lads. You know, it's like Amazon life, what you put into things is what you get out of it.
It's not too often that a Leitrim team wins an All-Ireland title, John.
Well, that's the truth, yeah. This is a first senior men's. This is the main one, and we won knockout cups before, and 10 years ago, some of the lads were on the All-Ireland junior winning team, the under-18 team, so it's kind of it's another step forward. So these guys are mature adults now at the moment, so that's why they're getting to this level.
And how long will the celebrations continue?
Well, I'm sure they'll go into tonight, and maybe some of the diehards will go into tomorrow, but a lot of us have families, and we have to go back to work, so you just have to. For the single lads, it's okay for them. They can celebrate for another day or two.
But Leitrim seems to be a very strong county when it comes to pool nationally.
Oh, it is indeed, yeah. Well, we have several different... We have three senior teams representing ourselves last year. We only had two this year, but Evan and all the commitment to lads. We had a underage, over 50 team. We have our bases in Dumshambo there. We have a pool hall there in Dumshambo, and there's two pool tables and a snooker table in that, so the lads do a lot of practice there. So, yeah, we opened that in 2012, and it's gone from strength to strength. So there's about 45 members or whatever in it, and that's great now, young and old. So from 8 to, well, we won't say 80, but 8 till mid-70s play pool.
Drumshambo's John Casey, who's chairperson of the Leitrim Pool Association, speaking to Ocean FM Sport this week after watching Leitrim lift the All-Ireland Inter-County Pool Championship in County Kerry for the first time in the county's history. Leitrim champions and All-Ireland champions in pool. A reminder, finally, that The Final Whistle is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and across the Ocean FM Sport social media platforms. Simply search for Ocean FM Ireland wherever you get your podcasts to find it. We're back next week, same time, same place.
Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's Final Whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.